Lord, we welcome you. Let us pray. So go into the Word. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this privilege you've given me to come to share your Word. Father, I ask you for fresh mercy. I recognize that it's not of my preparation, it's of your mercy working in and through me. So Father, I beseech you that Lord, you will anoint my heart and my lips afresh, so that Lord God, I will speak as an oracle of God. Help me, Lord, to that, Lord, I will not speak my own words, but I will speak, Lord, not of myself, but of you and of your heart in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I come to turn over my heart unto you. Lord, use my heart, Lord, as a pure chalice to pour out your word and speak into our hearts and our lives in the name of Jesus. Let your word flow in power. Let it flow with accuracy, with clarity, with simplicity, in the comfort and the love that only you can give in the name of Jesus. And it will bring encouragement. Lord, it will break yokes. It will cause blind eyes to be open. It will enable us, Lord, to press on, Lord, and to reach for those things that are before us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as I pray, Lord, let your anointing and power back this word under the cover of my fathers everywhere it goes throughout the earth, so it will set the captives free, not for price, not for reward, in the name of Jesus. I ask you for your help, particularly, Father, for mercy, so I'll be concise and precise, redeeming the time. Lord, not saying unnecessary things, only those things you would have me say. As a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, I will bring forth out of the treasure of this word, by your help, things old and things new, causing this word to be a blessing to my fathers and a blessing to everyone that hears it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now this afternoon I have a word entitled Embracing Godly Change. Change, they say, is the only constant thing. However, as you and I know, as constant as it is, we hate to change. The dictionary defines change as an act or a process that results in something becoming different or in making something different. So you can have a change of plan, can have a change of season. So is that something that you make, or is that an act or a process? But ultimately, it makes something different, and or the thing becomes different. And godliness, like we must know, is becoming like God. Becoming like God in the way you think, in the way you talk, in the way you behave. Therefore, embracing godly change really talks about embracing the process and the actions that make us more like God. Embracing the process and the actions that make us more like God. Now that involves two things. It involves having an attitude that welcomes anything that is going to hasten the process of becoming like God in your life. It takes a process to become like God. It's not something you do in a day. There's a mystery of godliness. It's a secret. And the Bible uses the word mystery. But it tells you that it's not overnight. You know, we come from ungodliness to godliness. The next thing is that there must be a determination to act in that process to become like God. So let's say together. Let's say there's a process and there are actions. There is a process and there are actions. Godliness doesn't begin with the action. It begins with the process. Many times we try to change to become like God. I want to do the right thing. I want to stand up for the truth. I don't want to lie. You know, I want to do the right thing. I want to be submissive. You know, but I just find myself, I can't control my temper. It gets the better of me. So many times we can be frustrated if we focus on the actions alone, without the process. Because you're coming from a background of ungodliness, where spirit, soul, and body, we had the nature of the devil. God now had to change that nature. We call it sin. And put the nature of God in our spirits. That's what we call being born again. Now, when we get born again, we are born again in our spirit. So the nature in the spirit becomes the nature of God, which the Bible calls Zoe or eternal life. And while the nature of sin still remains in the soul and the body. Now, the process of godliness is now to use that nature in the spirit to drive out the nature in the soul and in the body, so that while that process is going on, you can act more and more and more like God. That's how it works. There are two important things here, know, that I must mention quickly. If you, the first thing is nature. Everybody say nature, actions. See, until you change the nature, it's going to be difficult to change the action. If you don't have an American passport, you can't go to America and work without them dictating to you and telling you, no, you must have a visa. That visa must guarantee that you can work. There are some visas that guarantee that you cannot work. Just give to look and go back. As a visa, the visa that guy that you can walk, only somebody who is born an American citizen can go and walk around freely and get a job. The same way, the nature, I'm using that as an example now, you know, to understand that if you are born, you're free born in America, you can work, get a job, aspire for any political office, you can reach the fullness of your destiny by the grace of God. Okay, whereas if you are there working and you don't have the permission to work, they can come and carry you and put you on a plane and tell you that it's voluntary repatriation. They kicked you out. So in the same way, if you are trying to do the actions of godliness, you don't have the permit. The permit is the nature flowing through you. It's as easy as it is. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Quickly. We need to be quick. Thank you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power had given unto us, everybody say all things. Not some, or not most. Let's say it again. All things that pertain unto life, the nature, and the actions. Okay, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of the word. Next verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding what? Great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the... That nature is telling you that that thing is the permit. You need it to walk in godliness. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There are two natures there. There's the lust, which is the second nature, there's the divine nature. And not the same. You need that. Then the second thing you need is the word of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Second. But it's good. Great is the mystery of godliness. We mentioned that. Okay? Right. Second. Thank you. All scripture. I can't hear you. That's not everybody. Is what? Given by inspiration of God. So it's not men that wrote it. It's God that wrote it. He inspired men to write it. The same way you dictate to your secretary. You wrote it. The words are yours. Secretary just wrote it down. Okay? And is what? Profitable for doctrine. That's foundation. For reproof. For correction. Now we come to the higher things. For instruction in godliness. Next verse. Okay, that the man of God may be at the destination where you're going, thoroughly furnished to do signs and wonders. That's what he's talking about. It is not good work of carrying of working as a doctor, and that's part of it. But now you superimpose your godliness upon your work. Like Pastor said beautifully one day, when he was talking to young people, said your destiny is not to become a doctor, an architect, an actuarial scientist, a banker. That's not your destiny. Your destiny is to become like God. And then now use that to become a banker. Use that to become an actuarial scientist, an economist. That is your destiny. When you do it, you will be like Daniel, a cut above the rest. That's what this is all about. Amen? Right. Now, the satanic nature resists change. That's just the truth. I mean, you know it. If somebody asks you to change something, the first thing is, I don't want. I prefer this one. But you haven't even tried. But you know, we just like what we like. We like doing, we are creatures of habit. We like to do what we do. It's a satanic nature. Because God is new every morning. God is always unfolding. So you must understand, as we're coming from an ungodly background, you must learn to become like God. We don't like changing. God always changes. Now, he doesn't change. The Bible says, I am the Lord, I change it not. So God does not change in principle. But in detail, God changes. Variety is the spice of life. Are we all the same? Look at us. God made all of us, didn't he? Are we all the same? When he was going to make you, he changed. Let's make it like this. Then the next person, he changed. And we know how many of us? 7 to 8 billion on the earth. And none of us is still the same. Give God a clap of him. Amen. So God likes change, a variety. You know, the principles remain the same, but within that principle, there's enough. Don't let the devil tell you that, oh, no, you have to, you know, this thing is too dry. No. You're not connected to the God of the thing. There is a God of the process. There's a God. If you are connected to the God of the process, it will be fine. You will enjoy the process. But if you're not connected to God and doing the process, it will be dreary. It will be a drudgery. Alright, okay. And you see, so changing your diet, changing your routine, changing your plan. You know, there are so many things to talk about. You don't eat this, don't eat that, doing this in Jesus' name. God will help us. And one says, don't eat this. Sometimes I know I shouldn't be taking this Coke. Hello. But I don't know. We don't like to change. Okay? Sometimes you have friends that you should change. But you know, we don't like to change. Even though you can see the effect of the thing affecting you, you still hold on to the friend. I've seen it in my life. Say, God have mercy on me. Amen. Alright. So look at Luke chapter 5, 36 and 39. Quickly. Luke chapter 5, 36 to 39. Thank you. And he spake also a parable unto them, saying, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, that it has a tear, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. Next verse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. Next verse. But new wine must be doth put into new bottles. And what? Both are God is pouring out the new wine. There's a new vista. Like Pastor Mommy had preached 2 weeks ago. They spoke into the air. There is an open door. That's what that song, you know, was saying. There's an open door. It's a new season of love, of light, creative light, creativity, of life is available now. And God is saying, look, you need to learn to embrace this thing. That's what God is saying now. Next verse. Verse 39. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desired it. For he said, the old is better. This is your report card. Is my report card. We don't like to change. And when it comes to spiritual things in particular, we definitely don't like spiritual change. Just keep doing the way you've been doing all the time. I mean, don't change anything. No, I like it like this. Really? Guess what? You have to change. And you know what? Don't tolerate the change. Because many times God will initiate change from those in authority over you, or from your wife, or from somebody close to you. But the key is when you initiate it yourself. When you value change as a means of getting to your destination. Amen. You now value it, you now embrace it, and then you begin to initiate it yourself. That's where God is taking us. Amen. Right, okay. Now, this simple story here, I love. I'm beginning to appreciate Jesus the way Pastor says. You know, when God opens your eyes, you understand that Jesus was a fantastic teacher. He would teach a university graduate and a boy in primary 3 the same thing, and they would both get it at their different levels. It's fantastic. This, you can understand the English of this story, is telling you that you cannot take old things and join them to new things.
That's what he said. But under that, he's telling you something else. He uses the change of garments. Garment represents righteousness. So, and then wineskin there represents your heart. The wine is talking about the revelation of the word of God that produces Christ in you. That's what he's talking about. Deep. But, you know, on the surface, you know, that's, you know, you get that. But now he's telling you this. Using that change of garments, that is righteousness, and our heart, which is our will, our mind, and our emotions. That's your heart. Okay? He's illustrating the fact that refusal or inability to change will disqualify you from higher levels of righteousness and from walking in deeper levels of wisdom and creativity. If you don't change, you must change from an old wineskin to become a new wineskin. You must change from wearing an old righteousness to having a new righteousness. Not the one that men will celebrate is one old righteousness. The one that God will celebrate is new righteousness. They are not the same. What is an abomination in the eyes of men? It is glory with God. And what is an abomination to God? Men will be clapping for you and give you a standing ovation. How that people steal millions, go to church and give a testimony, and everybody stands up, knows that his job doesn't pay that salary, and we say, oh, God has done it, God has done it, God, do my own. That's why. Because there are two distinct levels, and there are different levels of righteousness. So we have a new season upon us, and God's going to help us to enter it in Jesus' name. That's this word that God has given in my heart, that you can make it, brother. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to make it. Say, I can make it. Not of me, oh, but of God working through me. That's what you need to understand. So you need to cooperate with the God that is working. Amen? Right. Now, how is he going to do it? Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. I've got to share this scripture with me. The pastor's preached it a long time ago, but it's good to look at it again. Philippians 2, 15 and 16. You need to be quick, really. All right. Let's take it back one verse, 14. It's talking to us as children of God. Say, do all things without what? Murmuring and disputing. Next verse. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. That's godliness. That's godliness right there. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among you shiners in the world. Next verse. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in that day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Our parents not run in vain in Jesus' name. Our spiritual parents now. And you will not run in vain in Jesus' name. You will demonstrate the light. That's what this season is all about. Amen. Using the word and the spirit to proclaim and reflect the light of God. In love, in light, in life. Amen. Fine. Okay. All right. Let's read the Amplified. Thank you. 15. Give us verse 15. That you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars, or beacons, shining out clearly where? In the dark world. That's your destiny. That's my destiny. We're going to shine in Jesus' name. Say, I'm going to shine in Jesus' name. I'm going to shine in Jesus' name. It's not shining with money, shining with glory. Glory is, money is at the bottom part of the ladder. Glory you cannot buy. When you get glory, of course, money is a given. Right? Okay. Now, so what is God saying? Don't tolerate change. No, value it. Embrace it. I know it feels different, but embrace it. It feels strange, but embrace it. Once you know it's in line with the will of God and the word of God. Amen. Don't be a backslider. The Bible says the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. He's always doing the same thing the same way every time. Nothing has changed. Let me ask you, are things changing? The way you do your things, are they changing? Are they getting better? It should be. It shouldn't be the same old, same old.
Look at Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 11. Quick. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's read together. Moab! This is Lot's son. This is the son of Lot. Obtained by incest. Okay? Moab has been at ease from his youth, undisturbed. And he had settled on his lease, and had not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither had he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is unchanged. This describes certain Christians. Their taste is the same. Bible talks about your desires, your appetites. You know, their appetites are the same. They still like the same old things to the same degree. But they are born again on the outside. But they are not emptied. When he talks about being emptied from vessel to vessel, he's talking about the sin nature in the soul. This one vessel. This another vessel. Those two vessels contain the same substance. You should have emptied it and filled it with the divine nature. Therefore, he remains the same. And you know what? The devil doesn't disturb him. So he has not gone into captivity. There is no discipline. Nothing bad happens to him. In fact, when you look at him, you'll be envious of him. David was envious. David was envious of them. Look at his neck. This guy's on Miliki Express. Lord, what, is there something wrong with me? What have I done? Everything is working for him. Satan is not disturbing him. Because of the end. That is already in his name. Let me ask, so what are your appetites like? What are the things you like? They should be changing, brethren, to become more and more and more like the thing God likes. This is very important, okay? And look, I want to just show you two examples, just quickly, as much as I can. Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 to 5, then verse 16. Story of Lot, incidentally. This is this Moab's daddy. All right? And there came two angels to Sodom when? At even. Read with me. And Lot sat in the gate of. That means Lot was the leader. Pastor. Pastor Dewey. He was a pastor. Bishop. He's sitting in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. So Lot learned some things from Abraham. Isn't what Abraham did when three men came? Isn't it? I said, Abraham, don't go. We'll kill something, dress it, give you milk, everything. Let's do it together. Then after the angels now spoke. So Lot learned some things from Abraham. But I wonder how much he learned. Next verse. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, to your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And said, no, we'll abide in the street all night. Next verse. And he pressed upon them greatly. See how he had learned this thing. So he learned some things, he chose not to learn some other things. And they turned in unto him, and he entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. 100%. So far. Next verse. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. Can you imagine? And Lot is sitting as a pastor in this church. See how they are behaving. The children, the way the children behave reflects the daddy. All right. Let's compass round about. They surrounded the house, both old and young. Can you imagine? Even Abalagba Arimo, with white hair on their head. Of all the people from every quarter. Next verse. The spirit. And they called on the land and said, where are the men which came in to see thee? Bring them out that we may know them. They went to have sex with them. Yes, if you read the NIV, it says they went to have sex with them. Sodomy. And Lot went, you know the story. Lot went out and to go and appeal to them and say, don't worry, I'll give you my two daughters, virgin. Does that make any sense? It's a madness. Is that an acceptable exchange? Look at 2 Peter.
is terrible. I will shall have my own church. I will shall have my own church. Be careful. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 7 and 8. Quickly. Thank you. Yes. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Next verse. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing, everybody say seeing, and what? Vexed his what? From day to day with the unlawful deeds. He was there and was doing pastor over the gate. And the Bible says he was vexing him and he was still there. I will do my own. So I can do my own. Eh? And the Bible says so was it. And he was a man, one-eyed man in the land of the blind. Have my own. Fine. So he had his own. And even when it was going to cost him, we know the story. Look at verse 16. Genesis now. 19:16. Quickly. Right. While he lingered, they said they should leave the place. So Lot could not leave the place on his own accord. The place was already inside him. You know, there's some things you cannot leave. Check yourself. Don't leave. It's already inside. If you don't use the nature to drive it out, you will not be able to overcome it. But you will overcome it in Jesus' name. But we are looking at Lot as an example, isn't it? So you can understand how this happens. That's why sometimes when you have some habits that recur, it's because you have not flushed it out. You need to flush it out. So, and while he lingered, so even when they were going out, Lot was slowing down. The thing was pulling him back. They had to pull him. I said, look, let's go. And upon the hand of his wife, man and daughter, and he took them out. We know the story. But this is the point here. And I want to go. This thing that Lot did, it cost him his wealth. The wealth he had when he left Abraham, by the time they put him out of Sodom, did he take anything with him? No. It cost him his wealth. We know the story. His wife turned to a pillar of salt. It cost him his wife. See, ungodliness will cost you. If you stay in a place like Pastor Dewey said, you know, when you are staying far from where you should be spiritually and you are there for a long time, it begins to cost you. Now, God knows that we are growing and He gives us time to grow. But you should not waste the time and take the time for granted. And then you should redeem the time. Thank you, sir. You know, because the days are evil. You know, and quickly get to change and do what you need to do, because the time will come, like Bible says, when the Son of Man, where night will come, where you cannot walk. So anyway, this thing, by the time Lot was doing, he had overstayed in Sodom, you know, being governor over nonsense, over impurity, uncleanness, and sexual vice, and was busy being pastor there. Shame on you. Shame on you. And it's a disgrace to Abraham. It's a disgrace. No, so he cost him his generations. Because children didn't marry. Not before his life. After that, the Bible is just silent on him. That tells you something. And it cost Lot his destiny. Where was Lot supposed to be? If Abraham was somewhere, wasn't Lot supposed to be next to him? He had learned some things from Abraham. But the deeper things, he told Leyen, Uncle, it is she. Uncle, your own is too much. This standard is too high. God didn't ask us to do this. I beg. I don't even want. Let me go and have my own. And he went and had his own. And what an own he had. Everything he owned, he lost it. Came out of there only with the two daughters. And even that was, they somehow found a way to mess that up. The deliverance that God gave them to start afresh and start again. Didn't Job start again? Job started again. Same thing too. God spoke to Job. We won't turn there for time. But God spoke to Job. And what Bible says, I'll just give you the scripture. You can put it up. But Job chapter 1 verse 11. You know, in Amplified. You can just put it up there. But you know, God spoke to Job. And Job's conscience was pricking him that my children are having party every day. Every day. There are how many days in a year? 365. They will rotate it among the 10 of them.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, up on, so one will start on Sunday, go all the way to Wednesday. Then you and I will take it again. Roaster. You know, parade. Hey, boogie now. Hey. Having with their friends. I'm on job. They have the money. We have the reputation. Come on, man. My daddy is the pastor. What are you talking about? My daddy is the bishop of this whole place. He has a relationship with God. And we are misbehaving. Talking about how fathers should discipline their children. But you know, Job did not discipline them directly. He said, if they have sinned, let me go. Please, when are you going to talk to them? When are you going to discipline them? So he knew in his heart that what was doing was insufficient. Because the Bible was, the thing was telling him. Job did this continually. Just put that up. All right? But the point I want to bring there is this. That thing that Job did, it wasn't himself personally. It was his children. But it was disobedience. God, the Bible says he did it continually. It must have been years. Years. That's about godliness. You know, you must insist on it. You see, there are two things here. We're talking about embracing godliness. You must embrace godliness for yourself as a person. And then you must enforce it over your children. Train them in that way of godliness. Let them understand that it's a way of life. And that they cannot afford to stay stagnant in a particular place, you know. And yes, this is it. What's that? But 1:5. Okay. And when the Bible, but when their feast is over, he will send for them, purify them, and hallow them, and he will rise up early in the morning and offer burnt offering. For Job said, the Bible says he thought, and now what I'm saying is he thought in his heart that it may be that they have sinned. Of course, they have sinned. If you go to party, you know, young people do party. There's most likely they've sinned. You are not saying their action, they've seen their thought. Even the dress they wear is a sin. Have you seen the dresses they wear? if you wear a dress there, it's old school here. The dress must stop here. The one that they cannot bend down to pick a barrel. That's the kind of dressing. Even the dressing is a sin. It is to tantalize. That is not tantalizer. it's to tantalize. That's the dressing. So already by looking, you've sinned. So really they had sinned. So why didn't you tell them no more parties? Make the party once in 3 months. Make it conditional upon their conduct. Easy. But because he didn't do it. May God have mercy on us, brethren. God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. So what are we doing? We must go higher personally. And then we must pull up our loved ones with us in godliness. Now the question is this. Are you aware of the spiritual state of your family? You must be aware of the spiritual state of members of your family. Bible says, know the state of thy flock. Look well to thy health. Proverbs 27:23. It's so important. You must know the state of your flock. It's not only for your wife to be serving you food. You must know her spiritual state. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. As a father and a husband, it is your duty to know the state of your people. You know them in the spirit. When they do some things, you just keep it inside. And you go and talk to God about it in the spirit. That's the spiritual rod. You wield the spiritual rod in the place of prayer. That's how you know your wife. When you pray and your wife responds, that's the one God has given you. The one that you pray that doesn't respond, God will help you. brethren. Your wife will respond to your prayer. Your husband will respond to your prayer. Amen. That's how you know your children will respond to your prayer. The thing that you're praying about, then when you now talk is not the first. The first thing is prayer. Prayer with the word. You kill it. And then you now talk. Then if they don't hear, you go to step 3. You use the cane. By the time you use the cane, it's a threefold cord organized by God. Oh my God. Alatigbo. Bible says, train up a child. Bible says, though you beat him, he will not die. He's not talking about beating with the cane. He's talking about beating with the tool, the spiritual rod and the cane. The rod of the Bible says, thy rod and my staff. So there's a rod. You must use the rod. Mothers, use the rod. Don't, when I say rod, it's the two rods. Don't use only one rod.
So don't use one. Say, don't beat him. Affect psychology. Psychology. He needs that psychology changed. That psychology has to be changed for his own good and her own good. So change the psychology by the two rods. Amen. All right. Okay. Right. So looking at Job and Lot, you see two things. Both of them receive the mercy of God. So even in the spite of ungodliness, God still shows us mercy. Amen. God is merciful. Amen. You give God a clap offering. God is great. In spite of it, God is merciful. God intervened in both cases. In one case, Job came back and God gave him back everything that he lost. Gave him back, must have given back another wife now. Naturally. And the children cannot draw from him. So he gave another wife. He had 10 more children, gave him the time to the children to grow up. And now this time, he trained up the children. And my children were the fairest in the land. Fair spiritually and physically. Where was Lot? His sense was unchanged. But then don't let's be stubborn. Don't let's refuse to change. Okay. All right. Look at Jabez. Jabez is the positive example. On the positive side, Jabez, God, his mother named him Sorrow. Can you imagine? God will have mercy on us. He couldn't have been African. How can they name you Sorrow? It's not, that's very un-African. What kind of name is that? They named him. That's a terrible name. They named him. But, no, on this positive side, no, Jabez responded to God. It's amazing. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. That's the first thing they used to introduce him. Same thing they used to introduce the Naaman the Syrian. He's talking about the heart of integrity. Honorable. It's more honorable. It's more upright. It's more sincere. It's a man of integrity. A man who is reliable. A man who is honest. And a man who is consistent. So with that background, in spite of all that, you know, even with the weight of that name on his shoulders, he was carrying the weight of that name. He was still trying to be honorable. He now prayed to God. Brethren, I don't know what you are going through. But with a heart of integrity, if you call on God, what he did for Jabez, he will do more for you in Jesus' name. Look at the next verse. And Jabez did what? Called on the God of Israel. Oh, that thou wouldest what? Bless me. It's not bless me, oh. Bless me where? Indeed, in right doing. That's the bless me. Not bless me. Not bless me, yafu, yafu. Bless me indeed. That's the first thing he asked for. Lord, bless me. Help me to live right. Help me to be godly. That's what he's asking him to do. And then enlarge my course. And that my hand, thy hand that will me, that's favor, and that thou wilt may keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God did what? That's a formula right there. There is no formula, but it's just principle. Alright? Tells you that if you have a right heart and you want to walk in godliness and you ask God to help you, God will correct whatever it is and he will help you. Amen. That's the will of God. Now, why is it important for us to walk in godliness and to embrace godliness? When you increase in godliness, it guarantees your spiritual destiny and your physical well-being and success. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Thank you. 1 Timothy 4, 8. Thank you. Let's read together. For bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is what? Profitable unto all things, having the promise of a life that now is and of that which is to come. So godliness brings profits. It brings profits. I always tell, mommy has always said this. He said, righteousness has a payday. It has a payday. And Pastor was preaching today, but the reward of the inheritance. There is a payday. All the one when Joshua was following Moses up the mountain. You think it's easy to climb a mountain? Only you. You can start at the bottom and say, Oga, whatever day, I will be here. Ah, it's a level of faithfulness now. Enisa, money malaria. You go up, I will stay down here. When you come back, you meet me here. And every day, Oga, I have a headache. You go, I will wait here. No, it's like, anywhere you go, I will follow you. Anywhere you go, I will follow you. That's how it should be for us and Christ. We follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth.
go anywhere he goes. So he followed him there. When he left, when Moses had left, Joshua was like, wow. Ah, that beautiful song. A fragrant clouds of incense swirling around the throne of grace. Wow. Look at the beauty of your holiness. I don't want to leave this place. Stay back. So obviously, when they were looking for a leader, naturally they would choose Joshua. Because he followed to the very end. The end is the holiest of all. The end is not the V-boot. The end is not the position. The end is the relationship. It's the friendship. When God knows your name and you know God's name, when God becomes your friend, the one that man cannot give, that's the end. He has a payday. When you get there, you turn around. Ha! Man get power. Use it to show mercy. Yes, you ask what you're going to do. You're not going to do as you like. By the time you get there, they've broken everything that you want. You'd have taken everything away. All right? So it also provides God. 3 John 2 also tells us that we prosper and we're in health as our soul prospers. So the more you prosper in godliness, the more you prosper physically, the more you prosper in your academics, the more you prosper in your business. It doesn't work. It's the devil that makes the other one work, where you are less godly and then you have more prosperity. It's a trap. It's a trap. It's leanness. Doesn't mean that your soul should be fat and flourishing. Then it will attract. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and other things shall be. Godliness has the power of attraction. It will attract men. They give men for your life. People that know you, they're just like you. Auntie, don't do it that way. Do it this way. And nobody told you would have gone that way. You can't buy that with money. You know? So, it will be consistent. That's godliness. Okay? So, what are we saying? The Bible says that in Proverbs 11 verse 4, it says righteousness delivers from death. So, godliness also brings for God to defend and protect us. Godliness has profits in this life and life to come. Your eternal destiny, and then your physical well-being, protection, and success. And when you resist godly change, you widen the gap between where you're supposed to be and where you are. And Satan can exploit that gap. Tell your neighbor, leave no gap. Tell him again, leave no gap. Make sure there's no gap. Make sure you fill all the gap. Because if any gap you leave, fear will come in, satanic oppression, loss. No, you can read. Look at Proverbs 1:22. Let's read it. Proverbs 1:22 quickly. Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? So you've been there for too long. That's what he's saying. How long? How long? There was a time when it was okay for you to be there, but now, how long? By reason of time, you should not be here. That's what he's saying. Next verse. Turn you at my reproof. That's how God comes. Comes as reproof. Comes as correction. Behold, I will do what? Pour out my spirit. The Holy Spirit is a friend. Yes, I know it's poured out anointing, but you need the person. You need to know the person. Because the person that will encourage you when the going gets tough sometimes, as you get, is the person that will show you the way. He is the one that will take you by the hand and lead you into your destiny. Amen. It says, I will make known my words unto you. It's the same spirit that will show you the word of God and open it to you so you can understand it in your situation. He's the one. Next verse. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Next verse. But you have set at naught all my counsel and you would have none of my reproof. My mouth is smelling. Okay. All right. Next verse. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Next verse. When your fear cometh, desolation, blah, 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 blah. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. All right? But the point I want to make is that it is time to turn to the Holy. The Bible says when you turn to the Spirit, now know that where the Spirit is, there is liberty. He sets you free from ungodliness. Ungodliness is a yoke. It's a yoke. And God has removed it off our neck in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we need to allow God to help us remove that yoke off our neck and not limit what God can. Don't limit God. You know, your spiritual state and my spiritual state limits what God can do. Next
reason. When the fire of temptation comes, as it will surely come. See, when the Bible says fire of temptation, anything we do for God, from time to time, periodically, God comes to check the quality of what you're doing. Bible talks about everything shall be tried with fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. No, 11. Give it to me. 1 Corinthians 3, 11. Free them quickly. For no other foundation can no man lay. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. So your spirit is born again. The nature of God is in the spirit. Next verse. Right? Now, if any man build upon this foundation, what? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, all varying degrees of godliness. Okay? Alright? Every man's work shall be made manifest. For what? The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by and shall try every man's work. So fire there just means that a purifying process. Oh, come and check with conditions. If you have done this thing properly, just like Bible says in Matthew 7, the rain will come, the flood will come, the wind will come. Just check out the house. The thing came on the house, the two houses, the house of the wise man and house of the foolish man. How do we know that the wise man was the wise man? His house stood. So God doesn't pre-select and say, oh, some people. No, just circumstances of life. Satan won't be allowed to come from time to time to come and check. And when he comes, he must find your house standing. He will find your house standing in Jesus' name. But the truth is that there is always a time of fire and temptation that comes from season to season. And when it comes, keeping your eyes on embracing godliness, looking for godliness, is the thing that will lead you to the way of escape. Amen. The Bible says that God will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. So if anything is coming, for example, let's give a natural example. When you say fire, people feel, hey, on my jail, think about what happened to Job. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. What I'm saying now is just a regular test. You've been praying, Abby, about patience. Okay? So somebody comes, and what do? They provoke you. It's fire. It's not fire burning, no. It's fire to try the quality of the work of what you say you have been doing with your temper and with your tongue. Leave me alone. Let me deal with this. When you are finished, God will say, zero. In fact, you got minus half. Start again. Hey, but she was one. No. Did you see what she said? How did it go about that? You start again. It's not about her. It's about me and you. It's very important. So you don't respond to people. You respond to God. What did the Bible say? When they slapped Jesus, did he say, or did he just keep quiet? If you can't say anything, pray in tongues. One by day, I pray in tongues. But that's the way to stay pure. I'd rather do that, amen. I'd rather do that than to be calling Orila and all that nonsense. I can't even say it again, thank God. Praise God. God has helped me. All right. So, really, keeping your, godliness is the lamp. That when you seek godliness, it's the light that points the way so you can see where the door is, so you can get out of the situation. Look at 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. Quickly. 2, verse 9. Thank you for this. Let's read together. The Lord knoweth how to deliver thee. Did he say righteous? Did he say ungodly? What did he say? The godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust the day of judgment. Your portion is not unjust, your portion is godly. And you'll be delivered out of temptation in Jesus' name. So you know what? You want to be delivered, stop complaining to everybody, get to become more godly. Stop telling everybody, do you hear what he did? Do you see what he did? They're not going to help you. You're going back to that guy. Your daddy, your husband, whatever it is.
your mom, your sister, whatever it is, your wife, you're going back there. You better get to the person that can help you, God, and become more godly. And when you deliver, then you now become a testimony. How did you do it that time? Not the one where you're telling everybody the whole world that cannot help you. Looking for help where there's no help. Looking for help from the other side. God will help us in Jesus' name. Third reason, we must change our motivation. Our motivation affects us. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. That's the last reason, you know, why it will take your motivation. Look at 2 Peter. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens, wineskin, and new earth, garment. Same thing. Just depends on wherein dwelleth righteousness. Question, brethren, what are you looking for? In Christianity, what are you looking for? Are you looking for things? House in Lekki, Schengen visa. Not is wrong, but that's what your faith is for. Oh no, Shanumi. You're looking for a brother, a sister, a child. What are you looking for? There will always be things to look for, brethren. So if you don't learn to take your eye off one thing, you'll be going from looking to looking to looking to looking. Come out of it and start looking to the correct thing. Are you looking for power? You're looking for spiritual power. And so when I pray for people, they will get healed. So they will know the big power of God. You're looking for position. Or are you looking for a relationship where he dwells to become like him? That's what you should be looking for. Your motivation determines your attitude to change and correction. Because when you are looking for something and somebody says, go right, you know naturally you will just go right. She means the best time to help you get the thing. But when you are looking for something and saying that you should go right somewhere, right? I beg. This is where I'm going. I'm looking for something different. What you're looking for is very important. Okay, next, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, what are you now looking for? A new garment and a new wineskin. A new heavens and a new earth. That's what we're looking for. Be what? Diligent. Let me find him in peace, without spot and blameless. What do we read in Philippians chapter 2? Blameless and harmless. Same scripture. That's what he's talking about. Look for that. Look for godliness. Let that be your aim. Let that be my aim. So that we will not be lazy or stubborn instead of being diligent. Now, the thing about ungodliness is that ungodliness in our lives slows down the manifestation of the glory of God. Look at Jude chapter 1 verse 12. You know, Jude chapter 1 verse 12. When we slow down, we will not slow it down in Jesus' name. Jude. Jude 1:12. Okay. Jude 1:12. These are what? Spots in your feast of charity. Now the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27, as coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or what? Blemish or any such thing. So if you are having feast in the spot of charity, what's it doing? It's delaying the manifestation. That's what it's doing. Will not delay in Jesus' name. Amen. And this also points to our responsibility. Stop making your own responsibility God's responsibility. Don't be praying about things you can act on. Job should have acted. What was he praying about? Okay, could have prayed at the beginning. But was really praying and communing with God. God would have been telling him. It means he was just doing the observance. Just going to play and Mona Badura, and you are talking alone. There is no communication between you and God. Prayer is communion. You're supposed to be talking to God and get a feedback about what God prayed to God about. Not the one where you're just talking, and you get up with a sense of self-righteousness. Yes, I've done it. Is that what did God say? What was the fellowship? What was the communion? What was the instruction? What am I supposed to act on? That's what I was supposed to have done. If you have done that. So some things are our responsibility. We have to act. And if we don't act to get results, if we act and we don't get results, then we should open up to oversight. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Brethren, don't I see people hiding things? What are you hiding? Or taniki baba magbo? Baba lu magbe ipari e. What are you hiding? If your children are not Deuteronomy, we don't have time to turn Deuteronomy 21:18. First of all, about yourself. Because if you do it for yourself, then it's easier than if you do it for somebody else. Because when you go to oversight, if you're having issues, or they correct you, you know, take it. You know, and what Bible says that confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. That another there is not just any other brethren all over the place. So you go and tell brethren, oh, I have this problem. Radio, why you? Do you hear that? You better be careful. Tell it to spiritual people who will pray with you about it. Not just anybody. Go and look for your pastor and say, sir, I need to report myself. And they, because they already they are watching for us, so we're coming there in Hebrews 13:17. But let's all look at it. Look at it. Hebrews 13:17. Thank you, Pastor Dewey. Hebrews 13:17. Quickly. Obey them that have the rule over you. And what? Submit yourselves for the what? Are they watching for your bank account? Are they watching for your wallet? No, they have no interest. True spiritual oversight have no interest in that per se. Their real interest is your soul, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. They will do it with joy in this house in Jesus' name. We will make sure they do it with joy. But what are we bringing out here? We're bringing out the fact that that's what they are watching for. They're watching for your soul. So why don't you go to the person who does his job? His job is watching for your soul. Watching for how meek you are. How lowly you are. How obedient you are. And if you made a mistake because of your stubbornness, the person who should know to help you out of it is your pastor. That's the person that should know. So that you can talk to them and they can pray for you. What you pray. When they pray for you once, you'll be free. That's the key. You know, it's not about, the key is to get the solution and be free. It's not going round and round and round in circles. Oh, God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see this. And then when you do that, then also for me, if you have an issues, you know, have an issue at home, instead of, you know, if you cannot pray or you've prayed and you're not seeing the result, because some things are like that, brethren. You pray about some things and you are not getting the result. There's no, be man enough to say, I'm not getting the result. This is not working for me. I need to do something. What am I going to do? Who am I going to talk to? Who am I going to see? See somebody. Do something. But don't leave it like that. Because Satan will take advantage of it. There's no vacuum in the spirit. And there's no void in this place. You have fathers that have counsel and knowledge and understanding. So where you go and drink from that fountain. And let them help you. Amen. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 21. It says, this is our son. He's stubborn and rebellious. You report them to the other. Now, I mean, you can report your children. You're looking at me. If your children are not doing what, just to join you, they won't necessarily call them. They are wiser than that. They are wisdom. You know, many times you think they will do what you think they will do. Whereas, no, because you're not at their level. So you don't even have a clue as to what they're going to do. You don't know what they're going to do. But your mind tells you, oh, this is what they're going to do. No. They can just pray for you. That's all they're going to do. And that may be the end. The child may never know that that was what happened. Never. And sometimes they may have to call and talk to the child. But if they call and talk to the child, definitely the way they do it, you know, you can be sure it'll be the way Christ wants them to do it. And there will be power behind it. The same thing you'll be saying, they will say it and the child will obey. Because there's more power. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Take advantage of the power. Are you in darkness when there's light all over the place? You know, if there's light around, you know, and your house is in darkness, if it's like, Ocho, Kino Shele. If there's no light, if everybody doesn't have light, I can understand that. But everybody has light, I don't have light, no way. Check the connection. Check the meter, check everywhere. I must have light. But there's light all over the place, brethren. There's light all over the place. It's a new season. It's a new vista. Love is in the air. Light is in the air. Life is in the air. It should be your portion. If it's not your portion, insist on it. That's the will of God. Let there be light. Amen. All right? Stop covering up for people. Don't cover up for your children. So what? Report him. Report her. Bible says, a sentence, because sentence against an evil work is not speedily executed, the heart of the sons of men is fully set to do evil. If you don't correct it quickly, they will become set in their ways. Then you will say, Come on, don't give me that. You told, so what? So when he told and didn't do it, it didn't happen in one day. So what then did you do? Look, we will give account. We are pastors over our home. And those children are your flock. They cannot get, no matter how tall they are. Like mommy said one day, Toba's son said, my foe, my bite. Not me, we're talking about Joshua. Toba's son said, my foe, my bite. Yes! That's the answer. And you have to know your authority. It's like David talking to Goliath. Not sometimes your children can be like Goliath. They can be like Goliath. They can look larger than life. Kini. Puncture the balloon. Puncture the balloon. And bring them down to earth. You will eat the fruit of it. Brethren, we'll eat the fruit of our children. Any means necessary, spiritual, now, you will use according to the word of God. And those children will turn out right. But the Bible says, don't cover up. Because if you cover up, you're making it worse. Now, how? Number one, you yourself have to be fully submitted to oversight. Now, submission to oversight, time has really gone. Wow. It's important here, as a principle. We've read it, but it's in degrees. Submission is in degrees. So you must understand that these are things that we should be checking. The degree to which you should be submitted is the degree to which you'll be at. You should not be behind on the scale, You should be where you're supposed to be. So you keep improving. That's how to embrace godliness. The first thing is to be submitted to those in authority over you. Because that is key. Bible in Isaiah 51. Look at Isaiah 51. Verses 1 and 2, very important. We read it every time, and it bears repetition all the time. Isaiah 51, 1 to 2. Quickly. It says, hearken unto me, ye that what? So, motivation. You must set righteousness as your righteousness in your heavens, righteousness in your earth. Okay? You must set that as your goal. You that seek the Lord. Okay? And now look unto the rock. Now, I know it's God you are following, but you must follow men who God has walked with, or men who have walked with God, so you can know how to walk with God. That's what he's saying. Look unto the rock from whence you have been hewn, and to the hold of the pit whence you have been digged. Next verse. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. And the result is in verse 3. The Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, our desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. That's the will of God for us. Amen. Alright, so you make sure in your heart you're fully submitted. Bible says, you esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. This was Lot's problem, really. That was why. And you shake Padasi. Lot could not go. He had already left Abraham. So he found it difficult to go back. And it affected his relationship with God. See, brethren, the way you respond to oversight in your heart, without them knowing, it will affect your relationship with God. So while Lot was in Sodom, he was on his own. God was not there with him. He was just doing the righteous thing that he normally does. But God wasn't with him to the degree that God could have been. If not, we all know that he should have left. Anybody that reads that story knows he should have left. But he didn't see that as an option. And even when they were telling him to leave, they had to force him out. It tells you he was blind spiritually. Compared to where he should have been, he wasn't at the level that the people of Sodom were. But he wasn't anywhere where he was supposed to be. And God was looking at where he was supposed to be. Not the people around him. Very important. So don't surround yourself with people around you and be saying so and so. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 to 17.
Right. Now, this is very important. Say, oh, ye Corinthians, this is Paul writing, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. It's the heart of oversight towards us. Next verse. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. You see, when oversight have an open heart, and your own heart is closed to a degree, okay, it affects us. And this is what he's saying here. He says, open up. Say, next verse. Next verse. Okay. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak to you as of my children, be ye also enlarged. So, open up that bowel. Submit fully. That's what he's talking about. Next verse. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's what we saw in Lot. That's what happens in our lives. We are unequally yoked. We use it when we talk about going out or having a relationship with somebody who's not a Christian. But leave that and look at habits. Look at thought patterns. Look at, you know, the way you do your thing. Then you understand this scripture properly. You know, for fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness. And what communion has light with darkness. Next verse. Next verse. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has that which believeth with he that is an infidel? Next verse. And what agreement has the temple of God with what? Idols. For ye are the temple of the living God. As he has said, I will dwell in them and will walk in them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Next verse. Wherefore, I can't hear you. Come out from among them and be ye separate. But the power to come out comes from a connection. And that connection is with oversight. So that connection allows nourishment. We spoke about the nature at the beginning. That nature now flows into you and gives you strength. It supplements whatever you're doing on your own. If Lot had been in connection with Abraham, he would have been out of that place. Back to with his father, correct everything that was wrong. The girls would have gotten married. His wife would be alive. All that and all. He would have had no loss. That was the will of God for him. God will help us in Jesus' name. Number two, cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You need that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. 2 Corinthians 3, quickly. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. There is freedom. There is release. He is the God of liberty. Liberty there is sort of liberty from habits, bad habits, liberty from thoughts, liberty from habits, liberty from nature, liberty from infirmities, liberty from, you know, circumstances. If you are with the God of liberty, you cannot be in bondage. Paul and Silas were with the God of liberty. They chained them and locked them up. And the God of liberty showed up with an earthquake and set them free. The question is, your being free is not about your physical circumstances. Hello? Being free is not about your physical circumstances. Being free is who you're with. Who you're connected to. That's being free. When you're connected to Him, He will make you free. By His word and by His life. Amen. All right. Number three, examine yourself daily. Examine yourself. And now this requires brutal honesty. We have to be born. But now it's with the Holy Spirit. You're not talking to the Holy Spirit now. No, examine yourself, your attitude to God, attitude to those in authority over you, attitude to your boss, about your wife, your children. You know, you check your attitude. You know, we do that during communion service. Then you check your practice of obedience, righteousness, or love. Same, I'm using them as interchangeable terms. Okay? Obedience, love. What areas do you need to improve in? You know, you look at those. You have to check. That's how you initiate change. When you check and you see the areas you are falling short, then naturally you will just know that this is the area I need to work on. You know, but if you don't check, you will think you're okay, and you're not really okay. You're okay at one level, but at another level, you're not okay. So it's our job. It's your responsibility. It's mine to make sure we check. Amen. And know what are your usual weaknesses? Are you dealing with them? No, I don't know about you, but in my life, there were things that Satan, you know, used that if he plays that card, I just fall. I don't know about you. You know, there's some one, two, three things. Like if he plays that card, that's how you check. Those areas, if he plays that card, are you standing or do you fall? As so that you know, you have to know yourself. You have to know. So once you know independence, you know, wanting my own way, you know, I dream, I'm going off, and then trying to find out, I'm alone. No? Where is everybody? Sorry, sir. You know, that's you have to find out, is it the same or is it changing? Am I no? So you have to unthankfulness, ingratitude. You can check. There's so many things you can check. Just look at it. If you look well enough, you will see it. Then you check your prayer life. My daily prayer, both travail and communion prayer. My Bible reading, my Bible study. Bible study is best done, if you ask me, best done by reviewing a weekly rhema. Through the weekly rhema, it is strong meat. I guarantee you, by the time you read it the first time, you understand the English. Just the English. And that everything is true. It's written. I understand. It's truly, truly. It's written in English. It makes sense. What did you read? I said some things, but I cannot remember everything. But do it again. And again. And again. When I do it by the fourth time, then write what you wrote. Write what you got from it. Write it out for yourself to see. It's Bible study. When you get up from that place, your spirit say, yeah, now, yes. No, your spirit is ready. Do you understand what I mean? Whereas, you know, I'm feeling weak, I'm feeling tired. It's because you're not feeding that spirit. Everything you're doing is power from your spirit, you know. It's power from your spirit. Even though you're eating food, the real power is coming from the spirit. So you must feed your spirit and make your spirit strong. And you can't be strong eating biscuits and coke. Can you get a lot of strength from that? You want somebody to carry something for you. Have you seen these laborers? You see the way they eat? When they want to eat, they eat, but they buy biscuits. I read Janara, they buy biscuits. Is that what they buy? Eh? A bar. In the morning. Swallow. Depend on with meat. And then they get up, they drink water. Say, oh yeah, Oga, I'm not ready. They will carry the cement. Spiritual work, spiritual food. All right. Okay. Very important. All right. Now, next one. Determined to accept rebuke. Determined. It's a determination. No? These are some things, just make up your mind. And he said, I will not be offended. I refuse to be offended. Any rebuke that comes away is before. Don't do it after the rebuke. It's late. The horse is out of the stable door. Do it before. Set your mind. Nothing anybody can tell me that is corrective will I get angry at. I tell myself. Even if it's younger than me, I tell myself. I set it like that. And I'm ready. The Bible says, great peace have them that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. If you get offended, it means that you didn't love the law to that degree. Psalm 119 verse 165. And Psalm 141, look at it. Psalm 141 verse 3 to 6. Psalm 141 verse 3 to 6. This is very important too, because many times when God corrects you or reproves you, you know, the Bible says reproof of instruction is the way of life. You're not going to get into perfection without being corrected. You're coming from an ungodliness background. You're going towards godliness. How on earth do you expect you're not going to be corrected? You're going from really the known to the unknown. So somebody has to take you by the hand and tell you right, left. I can't imagine somebody using GPS. GPS said go right. And say, I'm tired of going right. I've gone right 3 or 4 times. When am I going to go left? Should be balanced, Joe. Right, left, right, left. But that's how we think sometimes. It's as ridiculous as that. And it should be balanced now, right, left. So it should be balanced. Will balance get you to where you're going? There's an end. And your expectation will not be cut off. But you have to follow the direction. Sometimes it's not palatable. Sometimes you just feel like doing something. Oh, I heard what you said. You hear what I said? I heard what you said. And then you don't do it. Look at Psalm 141, verse 3. Okay. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Yes. This is someone looking at himself. Oh, let God set a watch before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Help me. Next verse. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked work with men that walk iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties. He's asking God, help me. He's already seen that he has a tendency to eat of their dainties. He has a tendency to follow them. It now says, let the righteous smite me. Echo communico. Alright. It shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me. It shall be excellent oil which shall not break my head. Correction increases your anointing. Corrections, it increases your anointing. It increases the anointing of God upon your life. It's very important. Yet my prayer shall also be in their calamities. Alright, next. Alright. Fine. Let's go there because of time. Alright. Number four now. Operate the seven pillars of wisdom. We have that. You can please put that up. This is the process now. Now we're talking about seven pillars of wisdom. You know, that's the process of honesty and humility. You know, travail, battle prayer in the morning. You know, communion prayer, binding the devil, confession of the word, meditation of the word, practicing of the word, and fasting and limping. We must be doing this to the best of our ability. Now, you may not be perfect, but you're doing your best. How do you know it's your best? Talk to the Holy Spirit. Right? He tells you what's your best. If you're doing beneath your best, he will tell you. He will tell you, this is not good enough for you. For how many years you've been here? Is this what is good enough for you? No. So, when you're already doing that, if somebody comes to tell you and correct you, it's easier because you're looking in the same direction. But correction is grievous to him that has forsaken the way. If you're going in a different way, then somebody's, before you turn. When Moses saw the burning bush, he turned. Because it was already, there was something he was looking for. You know, but not one and go on his own way. Until then, God didn't talk to him. God will have mercy on us. Number five, learn diligence in spiritual things and in secular endeavor. God is a rewarder, Hebrews 11:6, of those that diligently seek him. So this, and when you talk about embracing godly change, you can't tell me you're godly and you are mediocre at the work that you do. Your work must be top notch. Your work must be excellent. Your work speaks volumes about you. And when you are making mistakes at your work, then you need to go back to God and say, God, help me. Please, help me. Think ahead about your work. Pray about your work. Because that is what God's going to use to demonstrate his glory through. So you can't handle it anyhow. When they mention your name, it must connote a certain standard in your work. It should not just be, oh, okay, anybody. By the time they mention Daniel's name, Daniel. Bible says there were three presidents, but he was the head of the three. There was something they saw. Bible says he had an excellent spirit. That's the first characteristic. Then knowledge. Then understanding. Then dissolving of doubts. And all that. But the key, first thing, was excellent spirit. So we cultivate a culture of excellence. And God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Talk to God. Ask him for mercy. Check your connection with oversight. That's where it starts, brethren. Can't go by yourself. Your attitude, your obedience to instruction. When your attitude is right, you can deal with all those unequal yokes in your life, provided you follow the process. But if you are going through the process and you're not getting the results, it's not more prayer. It's not more prayer. It's not more fasting. No. It's stop, check, and examine. Check it. Check the system. Check your attitude. More life. That's the solution. Life and godliness. Life and godliness. As repent, then your relationship with the Holy Spirit now is your friend and your Lord and helper. And he helps us to remove the veil before our eyes.
so we can see clearly. He encourages us. He opens up the word of God to us. He says he will open up his word to you. He will give you his spirit. And he will improve your prayer life. He will improve your study of the word. He will do it, not you. He will do it through you. So stop looking at yourself and start looking to him. Because he's in direct connection with the author and the finisher of our faith. So embrace it. A higher level of righteousness. Personal. And then people around you insist on a higher level. Not in a bad way. Talk about it. Pray for them. And speak about it from time to time. And they will grow into it. Don't leave a vacuum. Take me past the outer courts and through the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing their praise, Lord. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found one place. Take me into
the holy. Sing it as a prayer to God.
Of holy. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, take me into the holy of holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips. Here I am.
Take me, Lord.
Oh, take me past the outer court.
Sing it to him.
And through your holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face.
Oh, pass me by the crowd of people
and the priests who sing their praise, Lord. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found one way.
Oh, take me
into the holy of holies.
Take me
in by the blood of the Lamb.
Take me
into the holy of holies. Take the pool, cleanse my lips. Here I am.
Take the cold, Lord.
Take the cold, cleanse my lips. Here I am.
Let's raise up our right hand in faith. It's a sign that we need more of God. This is upward. We're going up, pressing up the upward way. And put your left hand on your heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've sent to me today, showing me that it is your desire for me to have and to seek after a new heavens and a new earth, a new garment and a new wineskin. Heavenly Father, I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will come and help me personally be more real in my life and in my walk, so that daily I will commune with the Holy Spirit. Daily I will depend on the Holy Spirit. Daily I will speak to the Holy Spirit and obey Him. And so you will enable me to walk through the process of godliness through the blood, by the word and the spirit, as I operate the seven pillars of wisdom. And then help me in my work, so that I will seek and maintain excellence. Help me, Lord, to examine myself, my attitude, my obedience, my relationships, my actions, and help me to embrace correction and reproof, so that gradually you will pull me up from where I am, and you will lift me up to the holiest of all, and you will establish me in your presence. I will no more come out, but I'll be fixed in your presence, in the Holy of Holies, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rabakaka, Jekedebe Pango Ina, Rande, Vicalebebedanto, Bicalebe Sacarena, Redelebedan, Bidelebe Sose, Ganaya, Repapaka Toba, Regalebeba, Ingenebebetas, Rabakao, Rabakao, Jengalimana, Rande Vede Kunam Bautema Toya, Ademela Manto, Pengelamon, Bengalamanto, Regalebebedi Kakai, Oambela, Rapa Oi, Totoi, Kokoi, Oam. Banto sote rapa kaka jekelebebe rekalababa beram berata rapa kata zefremi kaka rapa kaneta rapa kao somalie rana mane rana manad renebele rapa lana rapa katata renelebe salama randebele lubaka jafreke kokumbari namaya nana. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, more people are healing and health. Let's, as we've come to pray, want to once again just put up your hand, put the hand on that part of your body that is hurting. So pray under the covering of our fathers. Say, Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, we thank you because healing is the children's bread. So according to your word, I come to pray. I thank you because you said your word and you healed us and delivered us from all our destruction. Himself, the word, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So by his stripes, we are healed. We thank you because inside us, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, even the Holy Ghost, gives life to every part of our mortal body. So I declare that by the stripes of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection power, I am healed. I live in divine healing, comfort, health, and strength in the name of Jesus. I say life, life flushes out sickness and disease, pain from my soul and my body. Every part of my mortal body, my central nervous system, respiratory system, cardiovascular system, my gastrointestinal system, every part of my body flushing out sickness and infirmity. The DNA in every cell functioning error-free. My immune system functioning error-free. I live in divine healing and divine health. I fulfill the number of my days in Jesus' name. Also, I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of exercise, and of rest in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rapakale, Jekaka, Malika, Nambakadanto, Sekele, Bebedika, Rapapakadantewa, Rapalimanante, Rapakata Vere, Rapafele, Rapale, Rapaka, Renelabas, Benelevesa, Jeframira, Renana, Pele, Rene, Renabela, Rapakao, To, Renelabea, Renelabea, In Jesus' name, amen. Now close the service. We say, under the covenant of our spiritual fathers, we declare the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. And may the Lord our God give us peace. Lord, grant us to be head and not tail. Head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Enable us to possess the gates of our enemies, including the gates of death. So we will live and we will not die. We will declare the glory of God in the land of the living with long life. With long life, will God satisfy us and show us His salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Lord puts upon us the mantles of our father Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell them about you embrace godliness. You embrace godliness. Embrace godliness.